You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Kimberly Adams in for Lizzie O'Leary. From the Black Panther bump for African fashion to the movie's merchandise, success on screen can potentially mean plenty of money to be made off screen as well. Hasbro announced it's making more Black Panther toys than it has for any other Marvel character's first movie. And for $30, you can grab a Black Panther tank top and leggings set from parent company Disney's online shop. To move a product from the big screen to something you can buy, it often comes down to one thing: licensing.
At every point during the creation of a product, there are approvals, so that the owner of the movie has to approve what's being done by the licensee.
That's Martin Brockstein, Senior Vice President at the International Licensing Industry Merchandisers Association. Whoever owns a movie basically rents out the images, designs, or storylines to companies who then sell the products you see in stores or online.
There's a reason they call it show business.
The goal is profit. For a movie like Black Panther, which is steeped in Black identity and representation, there's a risk of coming off as commodifying a culture.
One person's appropriation is another person's homage. There are very few homogeneous communities at this point, so I guess, you know, there's always going to be comments on both sides.
For more on that, I spoke with Jamie Broadnax, founder and managing editor of BlackGirlNerds.com, and Evan Narcisse, senior writer for Gizmodo's IO9 and writer for the upcoming Rise of the Black Panther comic series. And Evan started with his thoughts on the Black Panther merchandise so far.
What's striking is that, first and foremost, we're seeing Black children play and imagine and reflect themselves as shown on the screen in the Black Panther movie. And that's striking, because it feels like this is not an instance where there are tokens or being used to reflect a multicultural kind of viewpoint on our products. This feels like it's Black first.
Jamie, I want to chat in particular about costumes. When Disney, the parent company of Marvel, has a movie this big, you often see a whole slew of costumes for kids, for adults, and much has been made of the women's costumes in the movie Black Panther. But if you go on Disney's website, the only costume right now is sort of the Black Panther superhero costume. Why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know why. Just as we celebrate other movie properties and see those costumes on display, we should be able to see that with Black Panther. Black children and white children and all kinds of folks can be able to celebrate the beauty of what Black Panther represents. So I don't quite know why that is, but it is stunning to me that we haven't been able to see that yet.
Black Panther fandom reached a fever pitch because there was this yearning for representation and for seeing ourselves in heroic roles and complex roles as they're presented in the movie. And I think there is a corollary desire to promulgate that, play as that in the real world, you know, whether you're an adult or a child. I've seen people dressed up as Adora Milaje, the elite fighting force, who are prominently used in the movie. So it's weird that there's no Dora Milaje costumes. They are as heroic, if not more so, than the main character is in the movie. Danai Gurira's character, Okoye, the moral and ethical concerns of the movie reside in her character. And, you know, she's a badass, too. She's, you know, a warrior who kicks butt, and she basically takes names. So she's a character that you'd want to be if you're a young girl watching this movie.
There have been conversations in my newsroom, and I'm sure in many other spaces, where the question comes up, what happens if 6-7 months from now, a white child comes to their parent and says, I want to dress up as Adora Milaje for Halloween. Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is okay. There's been costumes and superheroes that have been played by white actors for a very long time. I know myself growing up, you know, I wanted to be the queen in all of these different kind of fictional stories that were usually represented by, you know, white female characters. And now I think that it would be absolutely beautiful to see non-Black children and adults dress up as the Dora Milaje. It's a celebration of a great character who embodies strength, who embodies womanhood in a very significant way. Everybody should just celebrate it. There's a universal message in the film Black Panther. And, you know, Wakanda Forever means a lot to a lot of different people. And yes, it is steeped in Black identity. And it means way more for us as Black people, what this film represents. But, you know, at the end of the day, this film made almost nearly $1 billion. So there's a lot of people out there that really love the film, really support the message, and want to be a part of it.
We're chatting with Jamie Broadnax, founder and managing editor of BlackGirlNerds.com, and Evan Narcisse, senior writer for Gizmodo's IO9 and writer for the upcoming Rise of the Black Panther comic series. Evan, part of the reason this conversation is happening is because people have real concerns about cultural appropriation. What do you think?
I think it's hard to even use that frame of context in this movie because Wakanda, as imagined in the movie, is a syncretic creation, right? It's something that pulls in aesthetics and influences and practices from all across the continent of Africa, right? It's an imagined place. So it's tough to appropriate from an imagined place, right? That's one. But the second part of this question is Wakanda and the Black Panther and everything surrounding the mythos of the character is a celebration of Black diasporan identity, right? And the thing about what we're seeing now in the possible merchandising is going to have to reflect the context, right? You know, of course it's okay for a white grown-up or a white kid to dress up as the Black Panther or the Dora Milaje or any of these characters. What I hope comes with that is a discussion of the context. You know, every superhero has that little core nugget of what defines their heroism, right? Superman comes here as a baby, and even though he's not human, he ascends to represent what is best in humanity. Batman, it's about how he turns his trauma into heroism. With Black Panther, the core of his heroic identity is colonialism and an anti-colonialist response. So, you know, when I talk to my 7-year-old daughter about why the Black Panther is important, I talk about colonialism. You know, it's an opportunity to have that conversation and to talk about why Wakanda is special, because this is a place where these awful things that happened in real world history didn't happen.
As you're talking about context, the context of this is also that this is a Disney movie, and Disney doesn't exactly have a 100% track record when it comes to translating some of these culturally sensitive communities to merchandising.
I can speak to that in saying that Disney is being very careful, and they have reached out to influencers of color and wanted to get feedback on, hey, where are we going with this? Do you think this idea for having this costume or this makeup line would be appropriate to market to mass audiences? You know, they want to learn from past mistakes. Moana, that came with some controversy. A lot of the costumes that was adapted from Moana were based on actual, you know, costumes that have been worn by people that are native to that area. So that would probably classify as cultural appropriation.
Evan, when marketing anything, the comic you're writing or Black Panther costumes, what is the big picture? I guess this is for both of you. What is the big picture for how you can do so with the proper context and history?
I hope it starts with people in the room from the earliest parts of the decision-making process, right? And when I say people in the room, I hope there's just Black people in the room. I hope that there's a multi-ethnic core of decision makers who can weigh in and feel safe on weighing in with problems or concerns that they may have.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, people need to understand the importance and the value of this film. And folks like myself already see that in the toys that are currently being distributed. And I haven't really seen any kind of backlash or, you know, anything where people have had a negative reaction to that. So it's exciting to see how well it's been embraced.
So much of the success of this movie at the box office and potentially in merchandising is due to the Black cultural energy that went into it. Do the companies licensing or making profits off of this imagery and this energy have the duty to share those profits with these communities?
I mean, Disney's a giant corporation that's predicated on making money for its shareholders. But one would hope that they see the opportunity to reinvest in the communities that have made this a success. I'm not saying there's a moral obligation, and they're certainly not beholden to do so, but it'd be nice.
Yeah, I agree with Evan's sentiments there. It would be nice to see them reinvest in communities and to be able to, you know, fund conventions, fund communities. Are they obligated to do it? Absolutely not. But it would be nice to see those sentiments. And I think it's a good look for them, PR-wise, kind of set a new precedent and say, hey, we've made all of this money from this film and we want to reinvest.
That was Jamie Broadnax, founder of BlackGirlNerds.com and co-founder of the Universal FanCon, a diversity-focused fan convention coming up in April, and Evan Narcisse, a senior writer for Gizmodo's IO9 and author of the upcoming Rise of the Black Panther comic series.